Does perfectionism impact your life? What is perfectionism? What's the difference between perfectionism and excellence? The difference between perfectionism and just wanting to do a good job? We're going to answer those questions today. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and we'd love to have you share. You can do so live on our comment line today at 888-888-1717. We have all the calls that we need for the show already set from our archives, so you can join us, however, with your comments at 888-888-1717. The question really is, how has or how is perfectionism influencing your life? Perfectionism is really that need to be perfect, to measure up to standards that sometimes are just not reasonable. And you find yourself, it's kind of a continuum. It can be a minor problem, or it can be a serious issue that really traps you from living your life and trusting God. And frankly, we got to be careful because it can fall into the category of pride pretty easily. And so today we want to help you find some freedom from the unhealthy influence of perfectionism and move toward excellence in life or living intentionally in life. So again, you can share your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717. I talked to Jody on a previous show about this, and she had such an interesting take on this whole thing of perfectionism. You know, I thought it'd be a kind of a cool way to get the show started today. So take a listen.
You would see me comparing myself to other people and their achievements, and I would be comparing their child to my child. I've prayed about it and prayed about it, and I can be happy for other people's achievements. That's not my problem. It's my problem is just comparing myself to other people's achievements and my child's achievement especially. I have my son struggling really hard right now with school and graduating high school, and I just can't even bring up the subject of my child around other people that have children his age, because all of a sudden that those negative thoughts come in there and I start comparing him to their child and what did I do wrong as a parent and just different things like that.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Jody. When she shared that, when I talked to her some time ago, she's really, I think she's an example of what happens. Our thinking gets in the way. It's what happens right here in our head. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of clean that baby out sometimes? Of all of the nonsense. We know intellectually that this stuff is not helpful. Trying to be perfectionist, we know we're not perfect. We're not going to measure up. There's always someone who's going to do it quicker and better and faster than we do. And when we set these standards and then we can't reach them, it's painful. And perfectionism, as I said, is not only like a slow walk off this, you know, anxious cliff ahead, but it also stunts our spiritual growth, and it becomes a spiritual problem for us. I believe that Satan loves to get Christians in our culture caught with this thing of perfectionism, because so many people I talk to talk about how it delays them from getting things done, creates procrastination. They start living more of an unintentional life filled with anxiety. And if Satan can't get you one way, he'll get you another. And if he gets you in your head with your thinking, he's just as effective as if some other area of your life. All right, let's get Beth on in Arizona to join the discussion. Beth, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you've been doing for everybody.
Thank you.
I found your show January 2014 when my ex walked out, and I've always kept you on the channel.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're listening to the station. Beth, how has this topic impacted you with perfectionism?
Well, I had a learning experience when I was 16, and I'm still learning to listen more to God. To let go of things. When I was in school, I always tried hard, and I tried so hard to the fact where I couldn't even write a sentence. I'd have to keep writing it over and over. Drawing art, I would draw the horse head like 10 times. I'd have to erase it to make it so perfect.
Yeah.
My dad was in a top 10 accounting firm, and I don't know whether it was coming from him, like, where you see yourself in 5 years, but my mom said that I was always wanting to do better. So with all that struggle, I shut down, and I had to be pulled out of school. I wouldn't talk to any of my friends or my parents. They didn't know what was going on with me. They had a friend who was a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I found out that I was a perfectionist because he said, "Here, draw this picture. Draw a picture of a person." I'm like, "What? Huh? How am I going to do that? So over the years, I've learned, like, I never want to go that far. It doesn't matter how the house looks. You know, I prioritize, mm-hmm. like, okay, I need to get my butt out. I need to get myself to my massage clients, to whatever I need to do. And, you know, if I do a little bit, fine, okay, and then leave and go. The world's not going to cave in.
Yeah.
God wants what is best for us. And so over the years of learning, I have learned, I had dog bites from Afghan Hound, May 9th, 1979. And I always want to make sure, you know, put the makeup on when I was 9 years old, you know, cover my face before I even go to the gas station. And so that kind of helped me back.
Have you been in therapy for this, Beth?
No, because I believe in God, and God gets me through it. People, and for right now, my life, I met an amazing person who is a life coach out of New Jersey. He helps people all over the United States and the world.
So it's been helpful for you. Well, I think, Beth, a couple of things. The fact that you're getting some, you know, someone to coach you is a good thing. But I would say to those of us who are God followers, those of us who love the Lord, that we should never hesitate in our lives to say we need to get some help. There are times where it could be for perfectionism, it could be anxiety, it could be we've broken our leg or we got cancer or whatever. Our whole being, from our head, our brain, our thinking, all the way to our feet, sometimes we need to reach out and get some help, because that's good that you're finding someone that you can get a coach to help you through your life and some of the, you know, decisions you're making. Because this area of perfectionism gets very close to also allowing us to become very obsessive sometimes. We can become very obsessive about, like you say, writing something and throwing it away and it's not perfect enough. I shared on a program a couple weeks ago about a woman that I can recall from a conference that I was teaching at many years ago about childhood memories. And her childhood memories were filled with a lot of disruption and concern for her parents, and she felt very responsible, and later so much so that she would just shut down because things weren't done perfectly. Like she said, if I made a pie and the pie wasn't perfect and the crust cracked in the wrong direction, she'd throw the pie away and start all over again, you know. And she knew intellectually, see, that this wasn't healthy, but it was something that she continued to do. And I think of the verse that comes to us in Ephesians where Paul says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's where it begins, right here. Okay, Beth, I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you've been listening since, what'd you say, 2014, and we'll continue to be here for you every day. Thank you. Okay, quick break. Back with Melissa right here at Intentional Living.
Woo!
Are you doing the wave by yourself?
Yeah, because it's wave season, the time when people are booking their cruises for this summer.
Wave season?
It's happening right now, and I just booked our cabin for the Intentional Living Alaska cruise this summer.
Well then, all I can say is, woo!
Woo!
Rooms are filling up fast for the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise, June 12th through the 19th. You'll be encouraged by teaching from Dr. Randy Carlson, host of Intentional Living.
You know, now more than ever, we need encouragement. We're going to come together and hear stories and encouragement from each other and grow as we travel together on this cruise.
You'll also enjoy times of worship with Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave.
But God.
Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska, June 12th through the 19th. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, I hope you'll do that. We'd love to have you be a part of it. You know, it'd be a shame to look back in July and August and say, you know what, honey, we should have done that. As we share some of the testimonies and stories and excerpts from our cruise experience. Again, June 12th through 19th, those are the dates. To Alaska and back, seeing the Inside Passage, stopping at some beautiful sights and stops along the way for you to enjoy. And boy, we'd like to have you be a part of it. June 12th through 19th, you just heard Big Daddy Weave. He's going to be leading worship. I'm going to be doing some teaching. Our president of the ministry, Evan Carlson, will be there. He'll be sharing, leading, hear an update on the ministry. We're going to be having dinners together. And the beauty of this is because of the group size, we can be in our own space and just have times of fellowship and sharing without being lost in the, you know, a larger group. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a positive week, being with other people of like mind, with a vacation, with a purpose, and breathing. That's our goal, some fresh air come June 12th. So to get your cabin reserved today, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You'll see the cruise information there. You can call and get information from the cruise line as well, or from our company we're working with, and they can answer your questions. But get that cabin reserved today, theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Perfectionism. You guys in there, any of you wrestle with perfectionism? Sally, Rob, a little bit. Perfectionism. You do, Sally? You wrestle with it? I think you're perfect. That help? No, it didn't help. Stephen? No, not so much. All right. And it is, I think this represents, we got Rob, yeah, sort of, and Sally, yeah, her hand's going up. I wonder if there's a gender difference. I think, do women wrestle with this more than men? That'd be interesting. I'm sure there's some stats on that. Yeah. So we got a nice balance going. Probably representative of our listeners today. Some, not so much. Others, you might be saying, it's not me, but I'm married to one. Or I've got a child. Maybe you got a child who's a perfectionist. They get half things done, then they don't finish. And it is kind of a slow, anxious walk off a painful cliff. Okay, Melissa wants to join us here in Arizona. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. Talk about perfectionism. Has it been an issue in your life?
Yeah, it kind of started, I think, probably around the age of like 12 or 13, and it showed up in a lot of areas of my life, but one that I wanted to mention to you today is I've noticed perfectionism in my friendships and relationships and not knowing how to be the real me, but trying to be like a perfect version of me for other people.
So you put on kind of a front that's not really you?
Yeah, like I only will allow them to see like the positive emotions and feelings, and I don't know how to be the version of myself that when I'm unsure and when I'm anxious or when I'm depressed, I don't know how to go to people and the awesome people in my life with that, you know?
What, were you able to be the real you when you were growing up, or were you the pleaser?
Maybe the pleaser. Like, and then it's just kind of gotten worse over the years.
Is it really impacting your life today?
Yeah, I mean, I think just overall, I'm not, like, going after my dreams. Like, I think, like, that childhood Melissa would want her to where I'm always second-guessing, and if I can't do it perfect, then I don't even try because I don't want that disappointment or that failure, you know? And then with relationships, just not really knowing how to get close to people because just for so long I haven't let them see, like, the regularness of just life and everything.
Now, are you married and have family?
I'm not. I'm in school. I'm 23 and still at home, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the good news here, Melissa, is you're mindful of the fact and aware of the fact at 23 that this is a characteristic that you have that you'd like to change. You'd like to work on this. And this is the time to do it. Many times we see people who are perfectionistic. We always ask, you know, do you procrastinate in other areas, or is it only primarily this kind of an image conscious thing that you have with friends?
I'd say I procrastinate a lot.
Yeah. You guys, you know, younger people in the millennials and younger people growing up today have, excuse me, a lot of pressure when it comes to the social connections and online type of connections. And you and I know, Melissa, that a lot of the stuff that you see online today is just phony. I mean, people always put their best foot forward, but that's not who they really are. My guess is a lot of millennials are not really being honest with who they are. They want everybody to see their perfection. Do you see that when you get online?
Yeah, I mean, I try my best to like be open with struggles, and that's kind of what I've been trying to remind myself, that we as people, like, we relate in our struggles, we don't relate in, like, our perfections, you know, and
yeah.
So, and that people, yeah, that I can't have, like, real conversations with people if I'm not being honest with, like, what I'm struggling with and dealing with,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely know that with social media, you don't want to post, like, all of your baggage on there, but then at the same time, you don't want to just post, like, a superficial version that's not, yeah, I don't know.
Well, a couple things, Melissa. I think you might be the type of person, if you have one or two close friends, where you can just be honest with them. You just really cultivate that kind of relationship where you can be close, you can share who you are and what's going on in your life. That would be important for you. You sound to me like a responsible person. You really want to go for those dreams. And I'm always, whenever I hear someone saying it's keeping me from going after my dreams, that's where intentional living clicks in. Declare that intention. I don't know what your dream is. In fact, what is it? What is your dream, Melissa? What is the thing that you really feel God's placed in your life that you're holding back on?
Yeah, so I guess I don't really know what it looks like, but I feel like I really love to encourage people and love on people and just show them, like, how loving Jesus is. And so I'm not sure what that'll look like as a career.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, probably kind of the perfectionism gets in the way. But, like, just being there for people and helping people, I guess.
Well, see, that's, you know, God's wired you to be a people-focused person, not a thing-focused. And the good side, the good part of that is that's what life's about, people. The downside is when you focus on people, then it can become conscious of, am I being accepted and fitting in and so on. And so I would encourage you, here's what I encourage you to do, Melissa. I encourage you to get one or two really good friends, just develop, cultivate those relationships. And then secondly, if you really feel this is holding you back from pursuing some career that, or a direction in your life, this is a great time to find a godly Christian counselor, a woman, preferably, in my view at least, someone you could talk to and start to communicate with and help, let them help you process where this is coming from to help you build some courage. Remember, courage is something God's given us, not discouragement. God wants us to be with courage in our life and not discouraged. And so we're going to encourage you to really pursue whatever that dream is in your life and don't back off, okay? All right. Thank you for calling in, Melissa. Let me get Angel on from New Mexico. Thank you for your patience waiting there, Angel, from New Mexico. Go right ahead.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm blessed. And you?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed as well. How about perfectionism in your life?
Well, it's more of a personal experience that I learned from before. Whenever I was younger, I remember that with church and all, I always wanted to be a musician, but I felt like I was never enough, you know? And I remember that out of the blue, my pastor asked me to play, but I actually said no. I said no, I didn't want to play because I felt like I wasn't sufficient for it, like I wasn't adequate for it. And for several months, he did persist asking, can you please do it? Can you please do it? And eventually, I finally gave in, of course, but whenever I did start playing, there was times where if I was to make a mistake on that note or on a song, I would have an utter breakdown and just, I would practice that same song hour after hour after hour and obsess over it. And
yeah.
It came to a point where, I mean, it was physically hurting me. My fingers would bleed, my fingers would be hurt, and I would obsess over it, and I would start losing focus in what I needed to be focusing on in church.
Mm. How are you doing now?
Much better, because what my pastor explained to me about that, about perfectionism, is that as humans, we're incapable of doing things perfectly, but what makes us great is that we can learn from the mistakes that we have.
Yeah.
And that there's no need for perfectionism, because there's a reason why that us as vessels of the Lord, that we make mistakes. It's for us to grow and to become more excellent within Him.
You know, I agree with that, Angel. Some of the most when we look at music, at least this is my, because we're getting into, when we talk about music, it's a very personal preference, right? But some of the most successful people, when we think of it in terms of visibility and so on. When you hear them perform, some of them, in my view, are not as talented as some of the people like yourself and others who we never will hear from, who are greatly gifted. And so it becomes sometimes the confidence that a person has, they're expressing what they believe they have inside themselves and they want to share it with others. Because we all are going to have we're attracted in different ways to different things. And so the fact that you can take the talent God's given you to play the guitar, share your music, go for it, man. You know, if your pastor's saying come and perform, go and do it and give God the glory for it. And that's the Amen. Key. All right. Thank you for your call, Angel. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. God bless you.
All right. Listen, you know, I think about radio. When I started on radio many years ago, I think about this often. I'll tell my wife, Don, I think, you know, we're doing intentional living. People are calling in, you know, they want to talk. And it's nothing that I'm unusual. I don't have some unusual gift. This is kind of how God wired me to sit here and talk to you and think about life and think about what Scripture teaches and how does it apply to our life. And there are things that you do that I can never do. And you're doing things, whatever it is. It could be mechanical things. It could be musical things. You might be really gifted in the way you handle business or the kinds of things you're doing in your family that other people could never do. And I think what happens, here's what I think happens to us. Then I'm going to get to your call, Amy, in a moment. Here's what I think happens to us. We focus on our weaknesses instead of our strengths. God has given us, I believe, all of us a gift. We got areas where we're stronger and areas where we're weak. And it's easy for us to focus on the areas where we're weak, try to make them better, when we need to continue to do some of that. But what is it that God's given you that's a passion, a purpose, and pursue it intentionally? All right, Amy, I'll be back. She's married to a perfectionist. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Psalm 119. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's two things going on in this verse. First of all, the word lamp in Hebrew means a dim light. We have just enough light for the next moment. It's kind of like the running lights in your car, but it's also a light to my path. Kind of like putting the high beams on in your car, and you can see a warning sign or a light way down the road. And I think to a certain degree, what the writer of Psalms is saying is it's not only for your feet, but it's also for your path. The word is here not only for today, but for tomorrow. And that's a powerful truth.
That entire teaching is ready to be sent to you today. It's on the miles and moments of life. And next month, for our monthly members, it's on the topic of how an intentional life can save your life. Pretty hyperbolic statement, but I believe it, and you'll hear it in the lesson next month. And right now, what we're doing for everyone who is joining us in monthly support of intentional living, joining the team, we're sending a copy of our ministry's best-selling book on marriage, Starved for Affection, a book that I wrote to help men and women, people married, to understand the power of love and affection. A very practical book filled with a lot of practical takeaway for couples. And that's our gift to you, as well as the teaching, the Miles and Moments of Life video and audio coming by email. So all you have to do today is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And I titled that because it comes right from Psalm 119, where it says, God's word is a lamp to my feet, which is right there in front of us, right? It's kind of like your cell phone, you know, the light on your cell phone, just maybe a 10-foot radius is about all you can see. And then it's a light to our path. That gives us down the path a little bit further as we think about now, today, and tomorrow as well. This lesson talks about how do we live in the moments? And what does the Bible say about the moments of challenge and about the miles of the future, the destination, the direction we're headed? I think you'll find it very practical. So the book and the teaching, yours, joining us in monthly support today. Come and be a part of the journey, part of the community. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And boy, we appreciate your support. All right, let's go to the calls. Amy's in Arizona. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
You're married to a perfectionist?
Yeah, I believe I am.
All right. Well, what's your question today?
Well, I guess my question would be, sometimes it's hard to know when to, like, put on the brakes and say, you know, like, hold on a second without being disrespectful. Because we have read the book, Love and Respect, and we have actually been to your conferences. I think for me, it's hard to know when to separate, you know, hey, you know, I'm not being disrespectful, but this is hurtful when you keep telling me to do this over and over again. I mean, he tells me to do things over and over again that he's told me numerous times before, and it just gets hurtful.
No, is it, he's asking you to do things and they don't get done, or he doesn't think it's done well?
Exactly. They're not done the right way. Mm. So, you know, depending on if it's washing dishes, we're talking like little things.
Yeah.
But
so how do you handle it now? What do you say to him?
I just say, okay. But it's really hard. Like, I feel like if I do say something, then he thinks I'm being disrespectful.
Yeah.
And everything is about, every single thing, no matter what it is, how big or small, is always about disrespect.
Now, let me ask this. When it comes to perfectionism, does he wrestle with this in his own life? Does he procrastinate and things like that?
No way.
So his is getting it done, deadlines. He holds to a high standard for himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he does for our children, too, and for me. And it's very, very hard.
Yeah.
And I guess there has to be a happy balance between, you know, feeling like I'm being browbeaten. I don't even know if that's the right term.
Yeah.
But it can be exhausting. I mean, sometimes I tell him to stop talking. Please, just stop talking. You know, and I know that's probably not a very nice thing to say.
Well, I think, Amy, I only have a minute, but I want to share something with you. I think what I encourage you to do is you not to speak to him from the standpoint of how, you know, mind to mind, intellectually. You need to talk to him heart to heart, which maybe he doesn't get there as often. But to speak to his head from your heart, to say, honey, listen, I love you, but I want to tell you how I feel when you correct me on not doing the dishes right, or when the kids are not measuring up. It doesn't draw me closer to you. It puts distance, or whatever it is that you're experiencing. Because when we can have these standards and we need to hang on to these, but when we expect everybody around us to also measure up to those standards, we are setting expectations, right? Minus reality. It's always going to create disappointment. And I would say to all of us, if we're holding up standards for people that they're never going to measure up to, we're going to have a constant lack of intimacy in the relationship. Boy, I wish we had more time, Amy. We're out of time. But thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.